L-E-T-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
D-Maze, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan here with you, joined as we are every Wednesday at noon by Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow Hutton. We've spent so much time talking about the college football playoff, the projections of the college football playoff. We finally know what the college football playoff is going to be. What did you learn about how the committee might look at this playoff format going forward based on the field they selected over the weekend?
Well, I mean, first, I mean, Alabama is one of the top 12 teams in the country. They told us that. They're ranked 11th. I don't know what the committee does going forward other than just follow the protocol and the system and the format that they are told to follow. That's really the flaw in all of this for me is the fact that Boise State has a bye. And the fact that Penn State at the 5 spot is in a great position on paper. I mean, we play the games, but on paper, they lost to Oregon, but they end up with a better path to Atlanta if, you know, they can put everything together with what's in front of them. Look, Oregon is good. They get the bye. They get to prepare. But the committee isn't to blame. They slotted this exactly how they were told to slot it. It's the conference commissioners, the presidents and chancellors, and those that are running the college football playoff that came up with this system. And it's hard for me to sit and hear Greg Sankey say anything when he was a part of this whole thing and what we saw.
So let's talk about Tennessee specifically. They are the number 9 seed in the tournament. They will travel to Columbus to take on Ohio State in a first round matchup. The winner of that matchup will play the number 1 seeded Oregon Ducks in the Rose Bowl on New Year's Day. So if you're mapping out Tennessee's path to the championship game, what does it look like? What is it going to take the Volunteers to get there?
Well, number one, Nico has to be a step above what he's been in the regular season. And I think he's been good. He's got to play great. The defensive line, though, it needs to be the otherworldly defensive line that was touted in the preseason, snap after snap. Winner gets Oregon, we know that. There's really, I don't know if you guys agree, I look at this and think to myself, there's not much pressure on them in this game, playing on the road. I think Ohio State would prefer playing on the road than playing at home. I know that sounds crazy, but if Tennessee gets off to a quick start, that fan base will turn on the Buckeyes, given what just happened the last go around. And maybe not full throttle, but especially on Ryan Day. So, I mean, house money, I don't know if you want to call it that, go that far. But, I mean, look, to make the playoffs in year one of the expansion, there was really no drama to it except for maybe 1 week. The loss to Michigan gives Ohio State this championship-type finish or bust feel to the whole thing. And they're banged up on the offensive line. Their center's out for the season. Tennessee's defensive front, best in the country. I think if they show up, they can certainly disrupt what the Buckeyes are doing offensively.
Now, Hutt, outside of Atlanta, obviously that's where one of the championship games will be. But outside of Alabama, because that's been sort of the talking point lately. You know, Alabama, did they deserve to get in? Did they not?
Right.
Is there any other team that you felt had an argument close to Alabama's, or probably an argument better than Alabama, why they should be in?
Well, I don't know if anyone had a better argument than Bama,
because it would only consist of maybe two or three other teams outside of Alabama,
right? And that to me that's Ole Miss, South Carolina, and Miami. Mm-hmm. But I mean, honestly though, if the committee was just told, give us the 12 best teams in America, period, it would look a lot different. With the automatic qualifiers and everything, that's fine. The 5-7 model, had they stuck with the 6-6, we only, you know, we'd only be seeing certain teams in there, maybe not even SMU at this point. But Mace, the thing that I look at is the bye week. It's more than just the rest. It's a long time off, but the advantage of the advanced scout with this, Boise State, and I think this is very underrated, Boise State and Arizona State do not have the analysts and the staff the size of the teams that are coming full throttle for them. Looking at, and if you think about the advanced scout, that gives them more time to do that with a smaller staff and also hit the portal. And that's an advantage for them that at least evens the playing field a bit, because Georgia has like 60 plus going at it, and they're already advanced scouting right now. They're already in the portal recruiting, and they're getting their rest and preparing for a game. So I think that's and let's put Oregon in that mix too. It's really everybody but Georgia, you know, and if you just compare that, I'll pull the numbers. I'm going by what's online for these teams. Boise has 28 staff outside of the main coaching staff, supplemental staff. SMU with 29, and Arizona State only lists two. That can't be accurate, but they list two. Indiana, 34. Oregon with 30. Georgia with 62. They list 62 other coaches on their website. That's a big jump between the haves and the have-nots. And if you're not, if you can get the bye, which is, again, a huge advantage, you sit there and you're able to maybe process and get some things, take a breath, not just for the players, but for the staff. And I think that can benefit them whenever you're having to immediately, potentially, you win. You got Texas or Clemson that's looking forward and trying to turn things around to a team that had a jump on them. But also, if you're preparing for Georgia, that's a totally different approach offensively with a different quarterback. Much more mobile, more RPO. You know, you got a week to go on that. So I do think that's a big takeaway for me. It's just the teams that wouldn't have – I'm glad that we see some fan bases that reach a certain level of excellence, like making the playoff and doing and experiencing this. But ultimately, it's not the 12 best teams. But we knew that going in.
Yeah, because they explained that to you. They explained that to everyone at the beginning. Listen, we're taking the four conference winners, and then everything after that, we are slotted. So, listen, Alabama fans and AD or whoever else, you didn't win your conference. So now you're in the sort of you left it in the hands of the committee to put you high enough that even if you don't win your conference, that you would make the college football playoff. But unfortunately for Alabama, they didn't win the last game they needed to win, and that was the Oklahoma game.
Yeah, don't lose the games that they lost, and especially to Oklahoma. And let's be honest here, guys, they were telling us already that SMU was going to get in. They were ranked ahead of Bama prior to last week. They had already assessed strength of schedule. They had already assessed all the details and all the particulars that they wanted to and put their pieces of the pie together. They just needed to see what played out on the field with SMU and Clemson. So, I mean, do I have issue with SMU over Bama personally? I mean, I would go personally with Bama, but not by much. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's a much closer argument than what people are giving SMU credit for.
Now, do you think the bluff will be called of Alabama? Because this is like the second or third time Alabama has thrown a, we play our hardest schedule, maybe we should not schedule some of these hard teams, out-of-conference hard teams. Well, they've said that before. They've said it on more than one occasion, and yet still they still go out and they schedule because that's just who they are. So do you think even after this, they will continue to schedule the way they have been scheduling, or do you think they will ultimately start scheduling these easier teams as a non-conference?
Well, I mean, as far as non-conference, if we're just going to look at SMU and make that argument, SMU played a tougher non-conference schedule, which is hard to believe. They played BYU, TCU, Nevada, and Holy Cross. Alabama played Western Kentucky, South Florida, Wisconsin, and Mercer. At best, that's a wash for Alabama. But their argument is within the conference, not out of it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's no question which conference slate and gauntlet is more difficult to
but
go
there's
through.
No there's way no around that if that's the case, because right. if you're saying well, your conference is the best from top to bottom, there's no way right. around. You scheduled Vandy and you lost to Vandy, yep. and that Vandy's going to get better as long as Clark Lea is there. I believe they will get better. So there's not going to be no more of these cupcakes that you presume them to be, and you schedule them.
Well, and think about just the teams that went through their conference, albeit lesser competition, mm-hmm. they won those games. So the Big Ten is going to argue, we won those games. We've got an unbeaten – or the ACC too. I'm talking about Indiana, mm-hmm. SMU. This team won these games. They're unbeaten in the conference going into the championship game, an extra game that they had to play. They're going to make that argument. SEC is going to argue strength of schedule and try to point to the good loss, but Bama had bad losses. So that to me is where SMU gets the tip of the cap. But just if you're saying who's the best team, mm-hmm. I'm taking Alabama if they're playing. I mean, Bama's the better team, but as far as who is more impressive down the stretch, it was SMU. And it's not that close.
Talking to Jonathan Hutton. Let's switch gears, talk a little Titans here. I was disappointed.
We tried to keep you away from it.
There's the obvious stuff that we can discuss, but here's one specific thing. I'm watching Joe Burrow go up and down the field every week. He's helping me, hopefully, on a way to a championship in my fantasy league, because he's throwing for 300 and three touchdowns every week.
At least one team is winning, Willie. Congrats.
Yeah, well, thank you. It's silver linings.
You are Nashville's team.
I look at the Titans' pass rush. I was so disappointed, especially at the beginning of the game when they announced that the Jaguars' tackle got sick in the morning. They didn't game plan to not have him. They throw in the backup guy, and the Titans got, I think, one sack. I did not see a consistent pass rush, and that's what I'm looking for week in and week out. I really want to see more. Pressure on the quarterback, because if they don't get it this weekend, I mean, this is counterproductive to my fantasy title, but I can't imagine what Joe Burrow could do to them.
Well, I mean, even when they sacked him 9 times, he still won the game.
Right.
Remember that? I mean, think about what they did at Houston and how they followed up the last 2 games.
Right. Their pass rush was a force in that game. And since then, they haven't been there.
I don't understand. It hasn't been analyzed enough, and you guys have gone across the roster. I know this on 102.5, but I'm saying the disappointment of the pass rush, given the fact that there have been flashes but nothing consistent. It's worse than I would have said preseason could have been the bottom of what we would see from them. And on top of that, the run game, teams are going straight up the middle. We saw Jacksonville do a bit of that too. So it's one of the worst games I've seen. I don't know if you agree with that, but the 10-6 performance, given what Brian Callahan challenged them to do. And it's a defense that only allowed 10 points. But at crucial moments all season, when you need a pass rush to show up on a big third down on a drive, they haven't been able to get to the quarterback and affect the pass. And that leads to a score. And normally, especially in the first half of the season, it was following a Titans touchdown drive or a field goal. When they were trying to gain some momentum, they gave it up immediately for a defense that, good, not great. But as far as yards are concerned, they're touting number one defense, this and that. They're not getting the quarterback. And in this league, if you're not doing that, you're done. I mean, it's why Will Levis has had the season he's had, because the Titans don't have an offensive line and a right tackle. Well, I mean, Jacksonville didn't have their guy, and it didn't matter. That's the difference between a team that, barely won a terrible football game and a team that didn't, and two teams that maybe didn't deserve to win game. That was awful.
The other thing that comes to mind as you're talking about that is the lower possession game, where it is going to come down to the key plays, as Brian Callahan was talking about in his press conference. He pointed to 4 plays that if you make those plays, you win. The other game that I thought was an example of that was the Colts game earlier, where it's a low possession game. It's going to be close, but it magnifies those big plays. And like you said, a defense, they didn't make those plays, even though at the end of the game they said, well, we held them to 10 points. But in that context of the game, they didn't make the key plays at the key time, neither did the offense. So that is something I think is important. I don't know how this game's going to go. The Bengals tend to play in more up and down, chuck it around, high possession games. But I think it also illustrates how far they have to go, because you can sit there going, hey, play here, play there. They could have won two or three more games. But that's where they really have to get better, is at the key plays. It exposes plays that are there that have to be made that aren't being made.
Yeah, and I mean, look, that you allow only 10 points, you should win in the NFL. But this is kind of also a consistent theme of, well, the defense is only allowing so many points, so you know, let's focus on the offense. In order for them to take a step forward, it's the crucial moments, like you're saying. And normally when Callahan's pointing out the moments in the game, he's pointing to the offense. I mean, there are moments within the defensive stands, or lack thereof, when they haven't done that. Now, it is tough to pick on the 10 points being allowed and 0 points in going through the third. But it's something they have to address. They have to get a pass rusher opposite Harold Landry. Have to. And normally you don't get those guys if you're waiting until the third round and beyond. It's an interesting offseason, because they don't have the top flight picks like you would have if you traded a number one pick. Maybe they trade down. But they have so many holes that are glaring issues. And not just glaring, Willie, pieces to their puzzle that have just derailed everything that they talked about. I've never seen one position completely change an entire system within five games. And that's what happened with the right tackle problems. They were just rotating guys because they had no answer after an offseason where they thought they had an answer. Same for pass rush. And while we've seen flashes, again, it's something that they have to upgrade, and they have to desperately get better at both of those spots. And they still have to find the consistent quarterback play. It's a dilemma that they're going to have to figure out whenever they figure out which pick they're going to get in the top 10.
Hutton, I would like to draw your attention to this. You may have seen this, but an Ohio State representative has introduced a bill that would classify flag planting at Ohio Stadium a felony.
Can I say, as many people say to athletes, you know, just play and stop getting into politics. Politicians, do something that is going to benefit your constituents. Stay out of sports.
Yeah.
It's called the Ohio Sportsmanship Act. And according to the bill, no person shall plant a flagpole with a flag attached to it in the center of the football field at Ohio Stadium of the Ohio State University on the day of a college football competition, whether before, during, or after the competition. Whoever violates this section is guilty of a felony of the fifth degree.
So if they play Arizona State and the guy plants the pitchfork,
technically it's not a flag.
That's not a felony.
Florida State.
Florida State's got their
Look, spear. Yeah.
If we're being real here, we're in an era where Georgia can have all of these arrests in the offseason, and the coach just doesn't do anything. It fines them through NIL. But they're going to make a felony out of planting a flag at Ohio. Come on. Yeah. Like, I laugh at it. By the way, I'll admit I liked it, because it's a part of the college game that I miss. The fact that they gave a crap about the emblem on their helmet and what's on their chest instead of the name on the back of the jersey. And we're talking about guys who are transferring in. They cared enough to back up their brands, who they're playing for. It meant something to them. That's really the last stand I have seen in college sports regarding that. So, I mean, if they're going to take that away, it's like storming the field. Kirk Herbstreit wants to do away with that. I mean, do not become the NFL. Instead, I actually enjoyed the fact that they didn't swap jerseys at the 50-yard line after the game. And I don't want to get college sports to that. I realize sportsmanship is something that nothing good came of the fight. But this is harmless if you don't react to it and if you win the game. I realize it was a trickle-down effect where it led to Texas A&M protecting theirs against Texas. But that's college football. That's the rivalry aspect is why we love college football. You live and die for not just your week, but your year is made based on whether or not you beat Michigan or if Michigan beats Ohio State. Take that away. I mean, let's get as sterile as you can become. And that's what's going to happen with this. And honestly, the Herb Street, who's got a massive voice in all this, he's on the side of the felony, which is also kind of crazy.
Seriously?
Well, I mean, he was saying that he wants people fined, and he was on Dokic the other day saying if you find the players $1 million, they'll never do it again. I'm thinking, what?
Exactly.
You don't need to legislate it, but exactly. I will say
this.
You
find the coach. I'm like,
find another way to show your passion, though. You put the flag down, you're starting a fight. That is what you're going to do. You're telling everybody in the stadium, I want to start a fight. That's not necessary. Find another way to show your passion. I'm with you, Hutt. I love the response, but it's automatic. And I don't care what. If you do that, you will fight. Just like the goofball that runs on the field at a game who's drunk and wants to show all his buddies. Okay. Yeah, you bet me I'll go on the field. Bet me $100. I'll go on the field. You know that guy is going to get pummeled.
Okay.
Pummeled and arrested. That's fine. You want to do it? That's what will happen. If you want to plant a flag, you will get pummeled. You will start a brawl. That's what you want. Listen, okay.
Listen, that's far
there's
from Coach Willie.
There's the dumb Willie. Tax to this. Hang on. How many times have you seen someone run on the field and it's shown on TV? They don't show it.
I know. But somebody's got their phone out. You'll see it on social media.
Well, that's fair. But how many times did we see a replay of this fight over and over and over again on ESPN? And they're the ones screaming for punishment on this. If you don't promote it, it's not going to happen. And if no one saw it, then no one saw it. But that to me is the promotion of it, and then the complaining about it and the back and forth. I mean, again, I miss the true rivalry weekend. We were clamoring when they made this expansion, when conference expansion happened. Do not take away the heartbeat of college football with the rivalries. That this is what the passion behind it is exactly why we were clamoring and demanding that they not do that. And in some cases we lost some of those games, but the main one stayed. And it's because of the promotion and the backing of everything that the fans want. I love it. It's it's Fulmer going to what he's going to be arrested. They had a subpoena out for him. Whatever he's going to SEC media days. I mean, that's ingrained in the lure of Alabama and Tennessee.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow joining us as he does every Wednesday.
Willie.
Hutton. Yes. Oh, Willie. Go. Yes.
Willie, I would want you on my side if we're going to fight.
Oh, if you get my blood boiling the right way, I seem like Mr. Nice Guy most of the time, but if you plant the flag on my logo, it's happening. Just like, Here's another one that sets me off.
Yeah.
And Auburn did this at Vanderbilt last year. It was easy to kick Vanderbilt where they were down, but Auburn's got the game won. They're up by 25 or whatever, and they throw a nice little – everybody stopped playing, right? It's the shot clock's off, run the clock out, shake hands, go celebrate in your locker room. They threw an alley-oop, and the guy does a dunk contest dunk.
Yeah.
Now, that's what gets me going. I'm ready to get in that guy's face. And I don't care if that guy's taller or what. I mean, that – and John Pelfrey did that on our court one year for Kentucky. That's the only time we lost to Kentucky when I was at Vanderbilt at Memorial Gym. And Pelfrey did that, and he got hooting and hollering. We weren't defending it. Kevin Anglin got right in his face after the game. And absolutely – I mean – nose to nose, like you don't do that. See, it's just simple stuff. You know that going in. It's going to elicit a response when you do that.
Yes. But final thought for me is in that moment, Auburn Vandy, I'm agreeing with you. In the game with Michigan and Ohio State, I mean, that's we kind of know going in that's what they're going to do. Michigan can't walk through a tunnel without getting in a fight with Michigan State. So, it doesn't take planting a flag to get them going or get the opponent going.
I don't think you have anything to worry about the rivalries, Hutt. I think we're okay. Well, the rivalries will be fine. We just don't need to plant the flag.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'm going to plant the flag on this conversation.
Plant the flag.
I'm planting the flag. Hutton, great stuff as always. We'll talk next week.
Sounds good, guys. Have a great rest of the week.
You as well. Jonathan Hutton joining us on the program. Willie, safe travels to Dallas. We'll see you on our television.
I am going to stay a little longer because we have a slight delay in the flight. So
okay, well, we've got some breaking college football news that we'll get to with Willie coming up next. Yes. Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. D-Mays, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. Some breaking news in the world of college football. According to Inside Carolina, North Carolina is finalizing a deal to land Bill Belichick as its next football coach. Like, I needed another reason to hate the University of North Carolina.
Okay, here's a
Bill Belichick reportedly finalizing a deal to become Carolina's next head football coach.
Here's a serious question, because I heard this while I was listening to this podcast, and the individual started getting into college sports and teams, considering where NIL is. And then I thought about it again once you sort of heard about some of the demands, because per ESPN8, they talked about Belichick giving Carolina this big binder of things he wanted and things how he wanted the program to be ran. Will there come a day, and I'm asking both of you this because it seems like it's headed down that way, will there come a day where these college presidents, CEOs, start selling off their programs to billionaires? Because in a sense, it's almost professional football now or professional basketball now, but just without, you know, owners. Well, now they're implementing GMs into the fray. Is there going to come a minute where a university say, you know what, we're loan funds, we need to get some funds, sell off our program to a group of billionaires?
That's a great question. Because you just heard Hutt talk about the ridiculousness of the size of the staffs. Georgia has 62 people on the staff, and he wasn't even including
that's
coaches.
A business in itself.
Yes.
Aside from the university.
It's an interesting question, because I think a university could say, look, the further we get going on this, the less we even are connected to the players and the staff. Like, are these really students? Like, at some point, you're only a quasi-student in some cases, right? I hope that through all of this business part and the money involved, that you can stay connected to a kid enough to say, look, Derek, I know this is big. We have a chance to win a national championship. You're getting paid handsomely. You want to go to the NFL. You're probably going to make it to the NFL. But it's going to help you if you go to class. You know? Take advantage of while you're here of getting a degree. You'll be glad. You'll thank me in 15 years, 20 years that you did this. How can you expect a kid to stay focused on that when it's going in this direction? You have GMs, you have all these things.
It's easier to say that 10, 15 years ago. It was easier to present that to us.
Yeah, it's getting tougher every year.
Now, they're looking like, man, what are you talking about? I'm making more in NIL than what your scholarship is worth or what it will ever be worth. They're giving me $10 million. Yeah. I invest that. I'm good if I invest it the right way.
Bill Belichick, during his weekly appearance on the Pat McAfee show a couple of days ago, sort of telegraphed this whole thing. But I thought his comments on what a college program under his rule, because that's what it is when you hire Bill Belichick. It's under his rule. This is what Bill Belichick said to Pat McAfee about what a college program would look like under his watch.
Coach, well, can I
just interject two things in here?
Yes.
One,
sure.
Let me put this in capital letters. If.
Yeah.
IF. If I was in a college program, the college program would be a pipeline to the NFL for the players that had the ability to play in the NFL. It would be a professional program, training, nutrition, scheme, coaching, techniques that would transfer to the NFL. It would be an NFL program at a college level. and an education that would get the players ready for their career after football, whether that was the end of their college career or at the end of their pro career. But it would be, you know, geared toward, you know, developing the player, time management, you know, discipline, structure, and all that, that would be life skills, regardless of whether they're in the NFL or in somewhere in business. And you know, I feel very confident that I have the contacts in the National Football League to pave the way for those players that would have the ability to have the opportunity to compete in the National Football League, whether they're good enough or not, I don't know, but they would be ready for it. I don't have any doubt about that. So, you know, that would be the, you know, the first comment that I would make, you know, relative to the structure of the program. It would be an NFL program, but not at the NFL level.
So why? Where's class? Listen, class was about 12th on the list.
Yeah, he's telling you.
Oh, by the way, education.
Education.
That's life skills.
We might do that.
He's telling you right now and that, listen, this stuff that you may be teaching these individuals, these student athletes, and he's talking more in the football realm. But best believe, those that are in the basketball realm, those that are in the baseball realm, they're listening to him. They're listening exactly to what he's saying, because that's where it has gotten. Sports is separate from the university now. No longer is it part of the university. No longer is it what we kind of experienced when we were growing up. It's totally different now. It is a big business, and if you're one of these teams like North Carolina and you're looking for a bump across the board, you bring in a guy like Bill Belichick. He's going to give you his demands of what he wants. He's basically structuring a system that if it happens in North Carolina, he will head it up across the country. This is just how this is a damn good move by Bill Belichick. This is not a today's move. This is a move for tomorrow. He's playing chess with this, because if this works, he will have his hand in everything across college football, because he has the model. He has this template that he's given to North Carolina. And the minute North Carolina says yes, Bill's like, thank you. This is not about today, because he wants ultimately his son to be the coach when he retires. This is about tomorrow and moving forward. I want to make sure I have a hand, because they just found out this business may be bigger than the NFL. So let me get my hand in it right now. And Bill Belichick is the right vessel. He's doing the right thing. And if many need to pay attention, a lot of people need to pay attention to this. And if you want to get in on college football and the financial benefits of college football from a investment standpoint, and you got some money, you better listen to Bill Belichick. Because he's telling you right now, this is where it's going. It's going to be opposite. It's going to be separate from the university. We're gonna, you know, gear these guys up. We're gonna make sure they learn the things that we want them to learn based upon the NFL. But then our education is going to be something totally different from the education you're getting.
But this is the crazy
thing. And I don't know if that's right or wrong.
And maybe if they have time, they'll go to class.
Well, but no, he's saying we're gonna have class, but it's not going to be class like conventional way we think about it.
Right. It may not be physics for poets and rocks for jocks.
I was gonna say rocks for jocks, as I learned earlier this week.
He mentioned life skills, right?
Yes.
Preparing you for that may or may not include.
And what did I tell
degree.
You, Willie? I said a college coach doesn't prepare you for the NFL. I've said that time and time again. They prepare you to win. Bill Belichick is like, no. I want to prepare you for the NFL.
The tricky part is, though, when he says that, the fact is, even at a great program, and North Carolina has not been on the level of an Alabama or Ohio State.
Not in football.
Or LSU churning out the number of NFL players that those schools do. North Carolina has got their share, but not that big. Even at a great school, the vast majority of your roster is not going to make the NFL. And if they do, they might make a practice squad for 2 or 3 years and bounce around, but you're never going to make any real income for the NFL. You're going to be done playing by the time you're about 26, 27, if you're lucky. So when you're selling the dream to every player, we have a NFL developmental program on
basically,
the college level.
Basically.
You know, the 100 kids that he's got every year, six of them will really have a career in the NFL? What are we selling here?
But he's what he's.
I mean,
selling,
he threw in the other stuff at the end, but really the other stuff should be at the top of the list.
No. Not when you're talking about this because it's a business.
I get
but
it.
But what he is saying is this: you're going to get your education. But you're not going to have to take that class or that class because realistically, think about it. At least me, I'm going to say me. I'll only speak for myself. The first year, probably two, I took basically nothing that had to do with my major. Nothing whatsoever. I just, you got to take this class. It's required to take this class.
That's
this class,
why I took.
And it's like, why am I taking this?
I'm going to never use it.
Well, what Bill Belichick is saying, you don't have to take those classes. You're going to take the classes you're going to need in the real life. That's the classes you're going to take.
It sounds like one of those high school programs like IMG Academy.
That's exactly what it is. It's IMG.
That's what it is.
That's but all
also,
it is.
Also, to be fair, UNC isn't usually good with having their players go to class anyways. If you think about a couple
but
years
that,
ago.
They had a little problem with that.
Just a little bit.
But this could be the test site for what Bill Belichick wants to do. And another guy you need to look at, and people are talking, he's crazy, Deion Sanders, what he's doing at Colorado. Now, what he's doing at Colorado can ultimately fit into what Bill Belichick is thinking, how this thing should be ran.
615-737-1025. We'll continue this conversation on the other side. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason downtown at JBJ's Nashville this Sunday for the pregame show from 9:30 to 11:30. They will break down the Titans' Week 15 matchup against the Bengals and give you the latest updates before the game. The pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Sundeck Nashville, Sloan's Motorcycle ATV, an award-winning Blue Note Juke Joint, and Blue Note Crossroads Bourbon. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you talking the breaking news according to Inside Carolina. That the University of North Carolina is finalizing a deal to make Bill Belichick its head football coach. I am not the first person to make this joke, so I'm not going to be original, but we know that Bill Belichick can recruit the youngins. Have you seen his girlfriend? So he should not have any issue recruiting young men to his program. But, Derek, I think you make a really interesting point about what this could mean for the future of college football. One texter on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com says the NFL does not have a minor league. Major League Baseball has AAA. The NHL is the AHL. This is what college football will turn into, only most likely a more successful and profitable version of those minor leagues.
Yeah, and Willie has talked about this, you know, since I've known him, you know, about the NFL being the only professional league, really, that doesn't have a minor league team. They, you know, not minor league program. They tried it with NFL Europe, but they did away with that after a couple of years.
It's a shame.
I thought they should have kept it, but they didn't. What other avenue do players have? College is not there. College programs are not there to prepare you for the NFL. They're just not. They prepare you to win football games for them and them only. If you make it to the NFL, then great. They can use that as a feather in their cap when they're recruiting. But their job isn't to prepare you for the NFL. Their job is to win football games at the level that they're at. So at times there's not that development there. Especially now that NIL is involved in a portal, none of these guys are truly developing because they're not sticking in the place long enough to develop. Maybe Willie, you need to be a part of it because you talked about this long ago, not having a developmental program, and now it seems like Bill Belichick is sort of want to set that up in a sense.
The interesting part is how much you can get paid in this, quote, developmental program. You're getting paid more in that than you are your first few years in the NFL if you make the NFL. Way more than a minor league player would make in baseball or hockey.
Absolutely.
It's a crazy model. And you're not – the difference would be you might be developed to be ready for the NFL, but that's different than being able to take a quarterback and put him in the minors.
Yeah.
And let him season a little bit, teach him where he can make mistakes and stuff like that. It's still not the same thing as a true developmental system that you have in baseball and hockey.
I would shout out Tim Hasselbeck, proud alum of the Berlin Thunder of NFL Europe.
Yes. Yes.
We can talk to Tim about that. I believe we're going to have Tim on the show tomorrow. We can talk about his NFL Europe experience.
Yes.
But, you know, this is the way it's going. You know, I mentioned IMG Academy. I mean, it's a, you know, I think I predominantly, you know, associate it with basketball. I believe they also have a football program. I assume they have a football program.
They do.
I always think of it in basketball. It's just like, it's a school, but it's not really a school. Like, you're going to train to be a basketball player with maybe some education on the side.
And that's
kind of what this feels like. I mean, that's just the way it's been. Now it's just out in the open.
Well, IMG has the perfect model, and I'm sure Bill Belichick has studied that model because IMG didn't start out at what it is now. I think it started out more so as tennis. And a lot of tennis, you know, individuals would come, and then it began to get a little bit bigger. Then guys started going down in a train from other sports because that's true. It's in a spot in Florida where it's warm all the time.
Yes.
Obviously, a big plot of land. I think it's near Disney, somewhere around in that area.
It's in that central Florida area,
exactly.
Bradenton, Florida.
So it was a perfect sort of like testing spot for what a potential program for all sports housed in one building could look like. So they have the template, and I'm sure Bill Belichick looked at that and said, listen, I can do this at North Carolina. And I'm sure he picked there's a reason why he picked North Carolina. I don't think this would have been able to fly in the SEC school.
Well, he does have some family history there, right? Didn't his father coach for North Carolina
possibly
as well?
Did. No telling.
His father was a coach. I don't know if he was at North Carolina, because Bill Belichick was born in Nashville, I believe, if I've got that right, because his dad was coaching.
He was born in Nashville, yes.
His dad was coaching at Tennessee Tech or something like that.
I thought it was Suwannee.
I forget.
UT, yeah, Suwannee, I think it was.
Apparently, his dad spent 3 years as an assistant there before going to Navy.
Carolina, before going to Navy.
Okay.
Before going to Navy. I'm trying to remember why Bill Belichick was born in Nashville. I feel like his dad was coaching somewhere in the area, if I remember correctly. I can't recall it.
Was it Vandy, actually?
Could have been.
But it's just, to me, IMG it gives you the ability to look at something and say, okay, that model can be presented to a university.
Right.
In that sense.
It comes down again to your philosophy. Mm-hmm. If your sole drive is to try to become a professional athlete, and I don't know what the percentage will be of, let's say you're a good enough athlete to get into one of these schools and play at that level, which is hard to be that good, a very small percentage. But even of those players, only 6 to 10 out of every 100 in football will actually have a career worthwhile in the NFL. Is it better to do that and spend all the time and the resources on that sort of narrow path, or broaden your horizons a little bit, have a little exposure to physics, even if it is physics for poets or rocks for jocks? But that's the idea of, you know, a well-rounded education where you're around other people who may not have any interest in sports. You might find some of those people interesting. You might have to interact with those people someday when you're done playing, right? So what's the value of that? If you're so tunnel vision that it's only about the sport that you're playing, there's a good side to that, and it might help you get over the top and make the NFL. But there's the downside is, what if your peak earnings are when you're 18 to 22 and you get all this NIL money, and then when you're 30, you don't have a lot of other skills, you're done playing, and you got kind of a narrow view of life. That's what I worry about.
I think that's why Bill Belichick is saying, you know,
if he's got that covered,
beside the football, you still have to take classes, but we're going to be more deliberate and more direct in regards to what we want, not necessarily what we want you to learn, what we believe will help you in the real world. Bill Belichick has been you know, at this for a long time. So he's seen the young men come in and out of his office. He's seen the things that they've struggled with financially and trying to make their way through a new city. So he's seen all of it. He's taken recordings of all of it. And now he's able to implement it in such a way where, okay, you should take this class. Not to say it's not a class that the university doesn't offer. It's a class that they offer, but you take this class because based upon my history, based upon what I've been through, this class will help you in the future. You're not taking, you know, rocks for jocks. Cause yeah, it's an easy class, but it ain't going to help you in the future.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, Scott Ramsey, president and CEO of the Nashville Sports Council. He will join us. We'll talk the Transperfect Music City Bowl and more. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The game.
L-E-T-E-N-E-C. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.